Welcome to Deed and B College. Today we're taking a filtered breakdown and giving it real breakbeat-led movement inside Ableton Live 12. The goal here is not just to make the section sound smaller before the drop, it's to make it feel alive, tense, and properly functional in a drum and bass arrangement. Think last 8 or 16 bars before the drop, or a mid-track switch-up, where you want the energy to breathe without losing forward motion. This works especially well in darker rollers, jungle-influenced tracks, Neuro or halftime hybrids, and club-focused D&B where the drop needs a strong contrast. And that contrast matters. Why this works in D&B is simple. When the kick and sub drop out, you still need momentum. You need the listener to feel the bar count, the pressure building, and the drop getting closer. A breakbeat gives you that engine, while filtering and saturation keep the breakdown tight, gritty, and controlled. Start by thinking in phrase lengths. 8 bars can work if you want a quicker turnaround. 16 bars gives you more room to build something cinematic. Put your breakdown into a clear musical destination. If you're heading into a drop after 16 bars, let the break evolve in stages. Keep the first few bars restrained. Bring in more chop and density in the middle. Push the last 4 bars harder, then pull back or fake out right before the drop. That internal progression is what makes the section feel intentional. Now choose the break source. For darker D&B, a clean but characterful break is usually the best starting point. You want enough transient detail to chop, but not so much top-end noise that saturation turns into fizz. A dirtier break can be great too, especially for jungle-leaning or rougher neuro energy, but it needs tighter control. If you want something clump clean and mix-friendly, start controlled. If you want grit and menace, you can go harder. Trust the vibe of the track. Drop the break onto its own audio track in Ableton. Warp it only if you need timing correction. If it already grooves correctly, leave it alone. That original swing is part of the movement. Then open the clip and slice it into purposeful pieces. Don't just shred it randomly. Keep the main snare where it wants to land if possible. Let ghost notes and hat tails fill the spaces between beats. Remove anything that clashes with the vocal, lead, or pad. You're aiming for a groove, not a pile of fragments. What to listen for here? The break should still feel like one rhythmic idea, not disconnected clicks. If you mute the bass and the atmospheres, the break should still hold together musically. That's a good sign you've got a real pulse instead of random editing. From there, build a simple stock device chain. EQ 8 first is a strong move, especially if you want to keep the low end out of the way. High pass gently somewhere around 80 to 150 Hz, depending on the break and the section. Then use saturator to bring out harmonic content. Start with around 2 to 6 dB of drive. After that, auto filter is your main movement tool. Finish with drum bus or glue compressor if you want more cohesion. This is where the magic happens. Saturation in a filtered breakdown is not just about making the break louder or thicker. It's about making the rhythmic detail more audible after you narrow the frequency window. When the low end is gone, the harmonics help the groove survive. The snare becomes more present. The ghost notes read better. The break feels closer and more urgent without needing to dominate the mix. A useful rule: if the saturation makes the break feel denser and more physical without turning the cymbals into sharp noise, you're in a good zone. If the snare starts sounding brittle, back off. That's one of the most common mistakes. Another one is leaving too much low end in the break. If the sub area gets muddy, your drop will lose authority. In D&B, the bass entrance has to feel like a clean event. Now automate the section with phrase logic. Don't treat the breakdown like a static loop. Give it stages. In the first 4 bars, keep the filter fairly closed and the chops minimal. In the middle, let the saturation rise a little or bring in more syncopated detail. In the final 4 bars, open the filter more clearly and let the break feel more exposed. Then strip it back, stop it, or hit a reverse swell into the drop. What to listen for? The section should feel like it's getting more urgent, not just louder. If you can hear the energy rising while the low-end space stays clean, you're doing it right. You do not need dramatic automation for this. A moderate cutoff move and a few dB of saturation can be enough. Keep it musical. Keep it subtle enough to feel premium. Another strong habit is to listen to the break in context, not in isolation. Bring the pad, sub drone, vocal chop, or atmosphere back in and check the balance. If there's a sub element, make sure the break is not crowding the 150 to 300 Hz range. If there's a vocal, make sure the snare tail isn't masking the important syllable. And if the breakdown is wet with reverb already, don't oversaturate the break into a smear. At this point, decide whether the break is a foreground feature or a supporting pulse. A foreground version is louder, more chopped, and more transient. A supporting version sits lower, is more filtered, and acts like motion under pressure. Both are valid. A deeper roller often benefits from the supporting approach. A darker jungle-leaning section can handle more drum drama. Stereo is another important call. Keep the core of the break centered if you want mono-safe translation and DJ usability. Let width live mostly in hats, room tone, or filtered texture. If you go too wide on the actual rhythmic hits, the groove can disappear in mono. That's a bad trade. Always check it. If the movement only exists in stereo decoration, rebuild the center pulse stronger. A really useful workflow trick is to keep three versions while you build. One conservative, one mid, and one hotter. Duplicate the track or consolidate different passes so you can a/B quickly. That stops you from endlessly second-guessing one lane. And honestly, that's a big part of getting better at this. Make choices, compare them fast, and keep moving. Also, don't over-edit the break until it loses its human swing. The NBE can get stiff very quickly if every hit is perfectly gridlocked. Leave some of the natural push-pull in place. That movement is part of the tension. If the groove still feels alive after you mute the bass and pad, you've probably got the right amount of character. If you want a darker, heavier result, saturation is usually more useful than brightness. Harmonics create perceived density without needing the top end to scream. You can even add a slightly uneven filter motion, where the cutoff stays low for longer and then opens more quickly near the end. That tends to feel more suspenseful than a perfect linear sweep. A nice advanced move is to split the break into two layers. Keep one layer as the transient body, centered and readable. Then add a quieter high-pass texture layer with more saturation and maybe slightly different automation. That gives you edge and nervous motion, without losing groove authority. If both layers are doing the same job, the result usually gets blurry. Once the break is working, commit it. Freeze, flatten, consolidate, print it to audio. That's a big part of sounding confident in DNB. If the rhythmic idea is already doing the job, stop editing and move into arrangement. A committed break often feels stronger than an endlessly tweaked one. Then test the drop. This is the real final check. Put the drop back in and listen to the transition. Does the last bar leave enough room for the first snare hit? Does the final fill create anticipation without smearing the transient? Does the bass re-entry feel cleaner because the breakdown had harmonic density but not low-end clutter? If the drop suddenly feels smaller, the breakdown is probably too loud, too bright, or too busy. Pull it back. What to listen for in the final transition? The drop should feel like a release, not a continuation. The breakdown should have enough rhythmic identity to make the impact bigger by contrast. That's the whole point. A great pre-drop section doesn't steal the spotlight. It sets the trap. So to recap, build your breakdown in a clear 8 or 16 bar phrase. Use a readal breakbeat as a rhythmic engine, not decoration. High-pass it so it stays out of the subspace. Saturate it enough to bring out the groove. Automate the filter and energy in stages. Keep the center strong, stay mono-safe, and always check the section in context so the drop still hits hard. Now take the practice challenge. Build a 12-bar filtered breakdown using one break source, only stock Ableton devices, and no more than two automation lanes. Keep the core pulse centered and high-pass the break so it doesn't fight the sub. Aim for a section that evolves across the phrase and clearly leads into the drop. If you can hear the groove even when the bass is muted, and the last four bars feel more open than the first four, you're on the right track. Keep it tight. Keep it musical. And most importantly, make the breakdown feel like it's charging toward impact.